For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Welcome to the Patriots Report, part of the Believe Network, joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hogan. I'm Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast and tell all of your friends who are Patriots fans to do the same. You can also watch us on Believe TV around the country, in airports, and on YouTube. Also, make sure to check out my Patriots coverage in the Boston Globe and bostonglobe.com. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. Remember, use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. Today, on the Patriots Report, Chris Hogan and I take a break from free agency in the draft to take a look back at the 2016 season, Chris's first with the Patriots. We talk about Deflategate, Super Bowl 51, and much more. That's all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, we teased it last week, and we've been talking a lot about that game. Tom Brady's return, 2016, the October game against the Browns in Cleveland. I know you've wanted to talk about this for a while. This is a seminal moment, not just in the 2016 season, but maybe in the conversations I've had with you, one of the seminal moments in your career, I think. Let's talk about initially the run-up to that game. What was it like in the building when Tom returned? Did he address the team? How did that entire week play out for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was such a unique year for me, right? Because there was so much excitement for me, right? Because I signed to New England. It's like, okay, cool. You know, I'm going to play with the greatest, right? I'm going to play with Tom. And then, I get to New England. Everyone's talking about the Deflategate, and I'm just kind of like the awkward stepchild that like really doesn't know what's going on or like doesn't really have any feelings towards it. Cause like, I wasn't there. I wasn't a part of it. I just know that, you know, everyone felt a certain type of way in that building. So obviously the suspension happened. He's pissed as all hell. And that training camp had like a weird vibe to it because, you know, Jimmy was getting a ton of reps and we're splitting reps but then he still wants to get it. You know, so it was weird. It was a little weird. But anyways, you know, we go 3-1, right? And Tom comes back. And, you know, I remember him coming back into the locker room. You know, I'm always one of the first ones in there. And you could just tell, right? I mean, everyone obviously was excited, right? You know, but you know, we get in the first team meeting room, right? And it's like, Bill, like, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to just be like, hey, y'all, like, Tom's back. Like, no, nah, man, we just moving on right into Cleveland. Like, don't even recognize that he's back in the building, but
everyone else, fanfare, nothing at all. Just like,
just business as
straightforward,
right? Everyone else though, like, you know, you could tell that the energy, the anticipation of him coming back, it was felt, you know. And, you know, I don't really remember. I mean, I remember that week being very detail oriented. I remember him just being like uberly on top of everything. Right. I mean, he was out for 4 weeks and there was a lot of this anticipation leading up to the game. And he was obviously excited. But going to Cleveland, Cleveland, you know, like it's going to be a playoff year for them, right? Like it is every single year. And, you know, they were all excited. And, you know, we went into that game and I mean, that was probably maybe one of the cleaner games that we probably played on offense. I mean, I don't remember how many yards he threw for, but that was like, you know, my first experience with him and Gronk. You know, I remember running down the field, Gronk caught an overpass. I'm sitting here, you know, running ahead of him, trying to block for him. And 5 seconds later, I'm flat on my back because Gronk ran me over, like pushed me out of the way. You know, so it's like, I got to experience that. You know, I got to play with Tom. That was my first time playing with Tom other than the preseason. And it was electric, man. I mean, he was fired up as all hell. You could just tell, you know, and he, you know, we did mention it, you know, I saw some of it where I had to turn it off at night because I was getting a little too worked up. But, you know, the FEA year, I mean, that was a real thing, man. That 2016 year, I mean, his level of competitiveness and his just willingness to prepare not over prepare, but just wanting to go out and just destroy every single team that we encountered. And that's, I can't say that was unlike any other year that I played with them, because when you play New England, man, you're going to get your best. You're getting your best right from the other team, especially when he was quarterbacking. But that first game back in Cleveland was fun, man. I mean, Gronk, Martellus, me, Jules, you know, Malcolm was, you know, got involved. I mean, we did everything right. I mean, it was fun for me. I mean, I remember I caught one long down the sideline. I remember I caught like another huge bomb across the field, like all these things where, you know, it was the fourth game into the season or fifth game into the season, and it was Tom's first, but like we were all kind of establishing our roles, and we just had like all the pieces, man. I mean, when Martellus and Gronk were healthy, they were a force to be reckoned with, man. And then obviously Jules, myself, you know, Malcolm Mitchell. I mean, gosh, I mean, I wish he would have stayed healthy throughout his career, because he was such a good receiver. And he did a lot of really, really good things that year. You know, that team was special. That 2016 was special. And, you know, we just collectively, offensive, defensive, special teams. I mean, we just fed off of each other, you know, the energy, you know, nothing fazed us. And we went into every single game like that.
You talk about, you reel off all these names and all these guys you were really incredibly excited to play alongside, Gronk and Martellus Bennett and Jules and Daniel, just that whole group of pass catchers. You're the guy who led the team in receiving yards that afternoon.
It was my first 100-yard game.
Yeah, you had
the 63-yarder
in your career. Yeah. You had the 63-yarder, you had a 43-yarder. You, I think it was 114 yards on the afternoon. Big day for you, but you also suffered a head injury in the third quarter. And I remember you saying before, you were pissed.
I came back, though.
You came back, but you were pissed. You didn't want to leave the field. Was that because the injury? Was that because what was the thinking there on your part?
That's me. That's who I am, right? I never wanted to leave the field. But B, it was like nobody wanted to leave the field. Like, we were just the – how much fun and how much enjoyment, like, obviously, like, we're competitors, like, first and foremost, and we just want to be on the field. But, you know, this was my first opportunity of really playing with an entire team. Like, we had been grinding the last four games, and we knew that we were going to have to play really, really well. And I think those four games probably set up this team to be even more successful, right? Because I think the level of preparation, you know, the sense of urgency, like everything went up, right? There was obviously high expectations for Jimmy, and then there were even higher expectations for Jacoby when he came in as a rookie and had to play against Houston, right? But for everyone else, the guys that had been there, the guys that had been winning, the guys that had won championships, they knew what they had to do, and we knew that it was going to have to come from all the other parts, right? Until Tom was able to get back, and then he was going to fill, you know, he was just going to not, I want to say Philip Boyd, but he was able to just on to what we were creating that year. And, you know, it just seemed like once he got back, it just, that ball went just like went out of control, right? Because we just won every single game. We just went on one to the next, to the next, to the next. And that was a special year, man.
Did you guys had a special team that year? Was it that game? Was there a moment? Was there just a collective understanding when you look around the locker room and you see everybody executing, and not just executing, but staying healthy for an extended period of time, that, hey, we have something special here. We can do something great.
I think it seemed like to me, it's like when I first got there, is that that was the expectation no matter who was in the locker room. But things were going, you know, and they were all trending in the right direction, right? Guys were healthy. Guys were staying healthy. Guys were available. You know, we had, you know, I remember I went down in San Francisco, but, you know, we have Danny, we have Jules, we have Malcolm, we have guys that are just able to just, you know, we seemingly didn't skip a beat, you know, if someone was injured for a game or missed a few games. And, you know, with obviously with 12 quarterback and everything, I mean, you don't blink, right? It's just, you don't really, like, you're not going to, it's not going to weigh on you that we have a specific guy out. It's just like, okay, cool. Like, you're up. This is your job. This is your role. You're going to know this role or I'm going to be pissed. Right. And I think, to be honest with you, man, it's just the way that that team vibed together, the way that we all just clicked together as a group. And it's not, you know, I've been on teams where it's very much like offense, defense, special teams, just kind of like in the middle, right? And it wasn't like that. You know, it was just everyone was mixed in together. We were all just, you could just tell that we all suffered together. We all celebrated together. We all, you know, complained about each, you know, about practicing in full pads in week 16 together. But we also, like, we went out there and wanted to win for one another on that field because we worked our asses off all year round through training camp, through the season. We battled through some of the adversity. We lost to Seattle on Monday night. And that
Great ball game.
And that was like a big game for us, right? I mean, they came in and I remember playing that game. I blew out my back, you know, that Wednesday. And I remember doing everything I possibly could to play in that game and I remember warming up before the game and, you know, I'm running around like I had a damn board strapped in my back. And I remember Chad looked at me and he's like, "You like, can you do this?" I'm like, "Bro, you're not taking me out of this fucking game. Like, there's no way I'm missing a chance to play Monday night in New England against Seattle. You know, Cam Chancellor, you know, Sherman, all these guys." And, you know, obviously, you know, inevitably, you know, or not inevitably, but we did lose that game, came down to the last play of the game. But, you know, and we felt a certain type of way about that, losing at home, because we had not lost. I remember, like, listening to us, we had not lost at home, you know, especially in prime time in mm-hmm. quite a long time. And I remember after that game, it's just, even after that one, man, it's like, okay, cool. Like, we're turning the page and that's never happening again. And that was just the type of team, you know, we lose a big game like that, but then we just turn it around to a positive. It's like, all right, like, we got to work harder. You know, we got to do something more. We got to prepare more. We can't let this happen. And I think that's, you know, it didn't take that long, but, you know, I knew at training camp that this team was pretty special.
As you're talking about that being your first year in New England, and I'm curious, I've talked to guys who have come to New England and discussed their initial experiences with the Patriots. And the quote that stands out for me is from Chad Johnson, who said that his first meeting was like the opening scene in Full Metal Jacket. And he was terrified to say the wrong thing. He was terrified to do the wrong thing. What was the assimilation process like for you? Were you intimidated? Were you cowed by the process? And what steps did you take to kind of try to insulate yourself with Brady, the coaching staff, Chad O'Shea, and the rest of them?
I mean, I think there's definitely a fear factor that was built into the way that Bill ran that organization. It was more of, you know, you didn't want to mess up in fear of that he was just going to get rid of you. So that definitely plays a role in how everyone kind of walks around that facility. And I think for me, it was, you know, I clearly always throughout my career, I always wanted to do the right thing. And I always wanted to be a guy that could be reliable. I always wanted to be a guy that could be put in all the different positions. So I think I kind of seemingly fit into what they were building in New England, just because I kind of fit that mold of, hey, I'm just going to do whatever you ask me to do. And I think that was pretty apparent, man. I mean, listen, I, you know, all 3 years I was there, all three Super Bowls, like I played on all three phases of the main special teams in the Super Bowls. You know, like I did whatever was asked and I didn't blink about it just because I knew just what it meant to Bill. I knew what it meant to the other guys, like, and all of those other guys, they all did the same stuff, right? Like Devin McCourty, you know, a guy that was a Pro Bowl safety and one of the better safeties in the league, like he's playing special teams. Like if they're asking Devin McCourty and Dante Hightower and all these guys to be on punt return and play a role and be like, hey, like this could be it. You can get a punt that block that's going to change the game, or we can get this return because you're going to be out there. Like, then if you ask me to do it, like I got to do it like 10x of that, right? Because, you know, I was just, it was always like Bill, I remember it's like, you know, the more you can do, right? And that's how you stick around. That's how I think I lasted so long in the league. I tried to be able to do as much as I could. So sure, was there a fear aspect of me when I first got there, just wanting to, you know, did I keep my mouth shut and just work hard and try to study the offense as best I could? Yeah, hell yeah, I did. I just listened and I learned and watched Julian and watched Danny and learned from Tom and listened to Chad. And, you know, in the meeting room, in our own receiver room, maybe I was a little bit more vocal, but you know, when it came down to it, like I just kind of kept my mouth shut, tried to be a good, you know, a good teammate. You know, I think as the year went on, I think I definitely got a little bit more vocal and wanted to be a guy that could, you know, be a good leader on the field, off the field, and try to, you know, contribute to, you know, different conversations or like, what are we seeing on the field? You know, a lot of times it's hard. It's like you play with Tom Brady. It's like, what do you say to the guy? You know, so I don't, early on, I don't recall myself like ever going up to Tom and be like, yo, like this is open, or you know, maybe we should think about this. But I think as like the year went on, and I would say the years following, I felt more comfortable going up to him and be like, you know, maybe we should, you know, like, listen, if we do run this, like this is how this guy's playing me, and, you know, try to add that quarterback receiver relationship, you know, try to continue that and make that a little bit better. But definitely when I first got there, I mean, I can't say it was like full fear factor, but I just shut my mouth and just worked hard, man. I was grateful for the opportunity that Bill and the organization gave me, and I didn't want to mess it up. So like I was doing everything right. Whatever they asked, it was like, okay, cool. How do I do this? Or how do I do this the best way possible? It's like, okay, team meetings at this time, I'm here 5 minutes early. Or, you know, we start our days at this time. Like, I mean, I was always an early guy, but I made it very apparent that I was like one of the first guys walking in the building, you know, just because I cared, you know, and it was part of my own process, you know, to kind of be there early, go throughout my day, not have to rush into anything, get to watch extra film. And, you know, I learned that first year in New England, I learned a hell of a lot, man. I mean, not only just about, you know, just myself and how to prepare and how to be a better, you know, NFL player, but I learned a ton about football. And, you know, that's, I can only give credit to Bill and Tom and Jules and all those guys, man. I mean, they played the game the right way. And, you know, Bill taught them, you know, how to prepare and how to practice. And I've never practiced harder in my life until I got to New England, you know? And, you know, as hard as it was sometimes during training camp, like, you know, when I look back on it, like we were better for it. Right. I mean, it's, you get to these teams that are like player friendly and you know, finish these days and easier practices like that did not exist.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You guys end up going 14-2 that year, and you reach Super Bowl 51. Everyone knows the story, but give me a little sense of what it was like behind the scenes as you guys were, you know, fell into that 28-3 hole. I know Julian has talked about, and we've seen the NFL films clips of him, you know, saying it's going to be the greatest story of all time, greatest comeback ever. You know, I know I've talked to Daron Harmon, and he said he was one of the guys in the locker room. Chris Long has talked about Daron Harmon being one of those guys. What was your own experience like when you guys were again, you guys fell into that deficit, that 28-3 deficit at halftime, third quarter. And was there a moment where you knew, yeah, we got him, we're coming back, we're going to win this football game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the moment for me on offense was, you know, when Danny scored, and then, you know, we immediately got the 2-point conversion right away. And then, you know, obviously Donta getting the sack. You know, the ball just started going in our direction. It started to go in our favor. I mean, I've talked about this. It's just, we played the worst half of football that we could have ever played. You know, Tom, you know, throwing a pick six in a Super Bowl, just unheard of, right? Just, and, you know, we were offensively, it's like, I mean, going leading up to that game, it's like, dude, we're going to kill these guys, right? You know, they play man coverage. We got a great plan. And we just didn't execute it, right? And then, you know, we just, in that situation, in that game, all of those situations that we ended up getting ourselves into, we were only able to execute because we had worked on all of that stuff for 17 weeks, more than that. Let's throw training camp in there, right? The direct snap to James White, we hadn't shown that, but I'll tell you what, we worked on that for weeks prior to that. The 2-point play to Danny, like, that was not just a play that we worked on 2 weeks prior to the Super Bowl. This was stuff that we worked on in training camp. The play, like, I knew we were going to win the game when we called the game winning touchdown. Like, I just knew that was a touchdown. You know, I just knew that we had done this. We had executed it. We did Friday, you know, fast Friday practices with a competition period where we're just going against our number one defense and our number one offense. And we're running these, you know, gotta have it type situations, 2-point plays, you know, set the third and goal in the red zone, like, what, all of these types of situations we put ourselves into, fourth and 10, driving in a 2-minute drill, like, what are we going to call? Like, we had done all this stuff before, man. So no one missed a beat when it came down to, like, oh, like, what do we do? Like, what are we going to do in this situation? It's like when they call the play, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, let's go out and do it. We know how to. It's not something that we've only done a few times. And it's just so, it's interesting. You know, we do all these things throughout the year and Bill puts us in all these situations. And then the biggest game of our careers, right? Or at least in my career, right? All of those situations come up. I mean, we even had a situation at the end of the half, right? I mean, it's like they're punting and we have a chance for Julian to run up and get a fair catch so that we can get a field goal, a free field goal, right? These types of situations that not a lot of teams, where maybe they don't practice, but we've been practicing them for months. And it's like, okay, this is what we're doing. Jules, go out there. We're going to fair catch it, you know, and try to get it, try to get to it. They're going to kick it away from you, but try to catch it so that we can get an, you know, 3 points, right? Or get a chance at a free field goal. So these situations that just randomly come up in games that don't often come up in games, we were so well prepared for. And, you know, we were a team that it did not matter what type of situation we were in. So listen, 28-3, yeah, not great. And did we all think like this could get ugly? No, but were we in the position to win? I mean, no, but was there any loss of fight and wanting to go out and make this game competitive? No. So, like, coming out of halftime, that was a 0-0 ball game to us. And we, wherever it ended up happening, like, was going to happen. And we just needed to execute better. And every single guy from top to bottom, coaching staff included, we executed, you know, and there was no head hanging. There was no feeling bad for ourselves. There was none of that because there was no room for that in the last game of the season. Like, maybe in the, you know, week 10, when it's like, all right, we're losing, it's like, well, maybe we should just roll it out there and move on to next week. Like, there wasn't any of that because there was no tomorrow, right? So the rah-rah, the energy, like, that just kind of went up even more, and, you know, which is hard to even imagine in a Super Bowl because you're just so damn excited to play the thing because there's all the anticipation leading up to it. But it's, again, man, special team, very special team.
It was an extraordinary year. And for me, that year and the journey that he went on that year for me was really all about Tom. And that's not to dismiss anyone else on the team. That's not to dismiss any of the other team accomplishments. And I always think about that when the quote from Danny in the Dynasty comes up, "We worked for Bill, but we played for Tom." I thought that the real genius of Tom as a leader was his ability to get everyone to buy in individually to what you guys were trying to do as a team. And I think that year was the best example of that. Not only the comeback in the Super Bowl, but playing the last, third of the year without Rob Gronkowski, him missing the first four games of the year, so the first quarter of the regular season, but his ability to rally the team, to be able to, again, get everyone to buy in and to have everyone understand that they're putting the team ahead of the individual, that for me remains his genius as a leader.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I had over the years, there was a handful of times where it was a players only meeting and he was leading it. Right. And he was not shy to call people out, but he also was like a guy that was going to give you the credit where credit was due. And it's like, you know, we lose to Seattle and things are, you know, it was a game that we really shouldn't have lost and everyone's pissed. And it's like, listen, we have all these guys that are doing great things in this room. It's like, we don't need to lose focus because we have the guys in this room that want to do it together. And we're going to move on. We're going to learn from all these things, but like, we're going to learn as a team. We're going to learn as a unit, as an offense. And we're either all going down, you know, and or we're going to win together or we're going to lose together. And it's never going to be on one person. And I think that, like, to your point, you know, it's just he did, as all the cameras are, you know, specifically on one person, you know, it was never about him, you know, in that locker room ever. I can't think of a single time when it was ever about Tom. And it was all, he had one goal in mind, man. That was just to win football games. You know, and that's all he wanted to do. And it was very, very apparent, you know, the second that I got there, that this is all this man cared about was winning football games and winning championships. And that was all that we were going to focus on.
That was one of my favorite teams. And I've covered the Patriots for 20 years now. I'm going into my 20th year. And it was one of my favorite teams for a number of reasons, not the least of which I wrote a book about about that season, which was incredibly fun to do. But you also had incredibly oversized characters in that locker room, not just Brady, but for my money, the best one and done guy in Patriots history, at least in the offensive side of the ball, in Martellus Bennett. Tell me what it was like to be able to play alongside him for even for just one season.
Character, man. I mean, he was, but you need those types of guys. I mean, listen, A, he was a hell of a football player, but B, he lightened up situations. He was always talking, right? I mean, like, you could walk into a locker room and you didn't hear Martellus, and he probably wasn't in the locker room, right? Like, he was there, man. He was talking trash. He was always talking during practice. Like, he was just a guy that was fun to play with. Chris Long, you know, like, another guy who was just like on the opposite side of the ball, but, you know, was just a blast to play football with, man. I mean, the energy that all of these guys had that they were able to bring to this team, you know, that both those guys, they fit right in with this organization because A, they wanted to win a damn championship, right? And they wanted to, this was the year for them to do it. And they didn't want to leave any, there's no regrets, you know, at any of those players, especially the guys that were like kind of, you know, 1 year and done. It was, when they came in, it was all in, man. This is my opportunity to play with Tom and I'm going to win a championship, you know, with this team, you know, and having Martellus. And I mean, when Martellus and Gronk were out there, that was hard to game plan for. I mean, we were able to do so many things on offense that year because essentially we can go out there with 22 personnel, put James White, Martellus, Gronk, you know, and a receiver out there, and we could go empty, which, like, how do you prepare for stuff like that? It's like teams couldn't, man. I mean, they struggled. You know, because we were able to just change up the personnel so much, and we just had so many people that you could put in so many different spots. I mean, I got to imagine it was a headache trying to prepare for that team when we were all healthy.
Chris Hogan, thank you very much for your time, my friend. We will go back to the usual off-season fare in our next podcast, but I thought this was fun, especially in the wake of the dynasty. There's a lot of conversation up here about what it all means. And for my money, that 2016 season, you know, 2001, if you're a Patriots fan, is still everything. And 2007 is still kind of everything for different reasons. But that 2016 team, man, that group was a lot of fun and a lot of fun to cover. It really was. Take care, and we will talk again very soon, my friend.
Sounds good, Chris.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. One more reminder. This episode has been brought to you by Bet Online. The tournament is here, and Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season. With the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.